Gospels, please, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Luke, chapter number 5. I'm thankful to be here. I've been in the mountains of West Virginia for the past several weeks preaching, and also as a program director of a camp. I saw several saved and many decisions for Christ. So the past 4 weeks, I've been in the mountains, and it's been about a 5:30 morning to about a 12:30 night, and then left yesterday and jumped in the truck, and about, I think it was 6 o'clock, I headed on the road, and I drove about as far as I could, slept for about 5 hours, jumped in the truck again, and stopped off for church in Dyer, Indiana, and then from there, kept driving and made it at 6 o'clock. So, if you'll bear with me tonight, I'm operating physically on 3 Pepsis, 2 Starbucks with 4 shots, and if you don't drink coffee, bless your heart. And I was with Brother Ingram last week. Billy Ingram sends his regards and his love for you as well. Luke chapter number 5 this evening. Luke chapter number 5. I ask that you stand with me if you're physically able on the reading of God's word. For respect, we'll start Luke chapter 5 in verse number 17. The word of God says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, Why reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed into his own house, glorifying God. They were all amazed, and he glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen a strange thing today. Go back to verse number 17. Our text for this evening, verse number 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And get this, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Tonight, in the few minutes we have remaining, I'd like to preach you a message I've entitled, When the Roof Goes Up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for the privilege and opportunity we have to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, empty me of self completely, fill me with you. Lord, if you don't show up, I might as well pack it up because I'm done. And so, Lord, I pray that you would show up tonight. Father, I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon this place so that we may hear from heaven. And we may walk away from here not just challenged, but changed to be more like Jesus Christ. In your name and for your sake, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we think of power, we think of a great many things. As I was driving here this evening, I saw some examples of power. I got into Watertown or Waterford or whatever that was, something water. And as I'm driving along, all of a sudden, this guy walks out in the middle of the road, waist deep in water, trying to warn everyone not to go that way. I had to turn around 3 different times at 3 different intersections just to get here this evening. I thought, wow, that's evidence of power. Water. And only a matter of minutes. It's pretty amazing. When we think of power, many times Americans think of the number one wrestler who comes out with the trophies. They think of the airplane jets or so on and so forth. But the sad reality is many times Christians do not know what it means to have the power of God. And I'm convinced that many Christians don't know what it means to have the power of God because they don't know how to get it. In Luke chapter number 5, when I began to read this passage, I was at a point in my life where I was seeking God's power, wondering, what else is there? There has to be something else to the Christian life. There has to be something else. Lord, I'm preaching, but I felt like I wasn't preaching with power. And I began to come to the Lord and I began to beg the Lord, Lord, what am I missing? What am I missing? And I found that I was missing the answer. The power is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And when I came to Luke chapter number 5, I saw that there was an answer why many people don't have power. Did you notice what it says in verse number 17? It says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But do you notice who it's speaking of in this passage? It's not speaking of the sick in this passage, because when the people have come to this house here in this particular passage, there are no sick. There are no people with diseases. The people in this house that the Lord is teaching are the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. In other words, get this, the religious people of the day are in this house, and that's who Jesus is speaking to. They've all gathered into the house and Jesus is there. No one else can get in for the press. And so the Word of God says that those people right there in that place, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. In other words, God's power was there to work in the religious people's heart. When I look at the religious system of today, I see that most is completely powerless. I see that most Christians don't know what it means to have the power of God. I see that most Christians are content to watch the preacher have the power of God. And in reality, many preachers don't have the power of God. Many Christians don't have the power of God. Friend, I'll be honest with you. I am weary of reading about power. I am weary of hearing talk of power. I am weary of getting in churches and prayer meetings that have no power. But I find in Luke chapter number 5, four men, they weren't the religious people of the day, but they found God's power. I'd like for you to see from Luke chapter number 5, when the roof goes up. You see, the story has it that all of these religious people have gathered to hear Jesus teach. And these four men, they bring their friend to Jesus looking for God's power, looking for God to show up and do something. By the way, Christian, if God doesn't show up, pack it up, we're done. God must show up because we need His power. If I don't have God's power, why stand behind the pulpit? If I don't have God's power, why read my Bible? If I don't have God's power, why try to live the Christian life? It's worthless. The sad reality is that's how many Christians live, powerless lives. When we get into this passage, four men say, we're going to find the power of God. We're going to see God show up. We're going to see God work where He wants to work in the religious people's lives. Hey, there's a possibility, number one, for ministry. Four men say, hey, there's a possibility of ministry. They bring their sick man to Jesus. When they get to the house, they can't get in. They can't get him to Jesus. They want to get him to Jesus. They want to bring him and to see the power of God make him well. This man's on his couch. This man's on his bed. He wants to be healed. His friends want to see him healed. By the way, do you want to see your family members healed of their sickness, of sin? Well, it's time you get a hold of the power of God, friend. You see, what happens in this passage is these men, they bring their friend to Jesus. They know there's a possibility. They know there's a possibility that Jesus could heal them. But I believe that when they see there's a possibility for ministry, they're not thinking as it is a possibility. Many of them are expecting God to do something. You know why? Because they start tearing up the roof. Whoa, look at that right there. There's a step right there. I'm not used to that one being that far. I'm going to stay down here a little bit more. I have jumped off a platform one time, not intentionally. It was about twice that size. Talk about embarrassing while you're preaching. Changes the mood. That's not power. But when we look at the Word of God, we see that these men, they're going to bring their friend to Jesus. They can't get in for the press, so they go up on the roof and they begin to tear up the tiling, looking for God to do something in their lives. When they tear up the tiling, they lower their friend to Jesus. And when they do, somehow, those religious fanatics sardine in the room and they set the friend right before Jesus. When they do, Jesus shows his power. But the interesting part of this passage was the power that was in that room was not there specifically to heal the sick man. It was there to work in the lives of the religious people. And friend, God offers you his power freely. He offers you his power for victory over sin. He offers you power to go on soul winning visitation. He offers you power to find the mind of Christ. But get this, friend, many times we don't have it. Number one, because we don't think it's possible. We think that God is some person up there, and he's up there, he's put us on this earth. I'm going to try to please him all I can, so maybe he'll have more favor on me. I found that many times in my ministry, I was serving God so I would gain favor with him. I was serving God so he would love me more. I was serving God so I'd have the power. But I found this from the Word of God. No matter how hard I serve him, he still loves me the same. No matter how hard I serve him, he still offers me the same power to serve him. And friend, he offers you power to serve him. He offers you power to have victory over sin. You want it. You're going to have to recognize that he's the only one that offers it. You're going to have to recognize that he's the only one who can make the sick well. Christian, do you want power? I do. Christian, do you want to see God work in your life? Christian, are you tired of living day after day and wondering if it's worth it to serve Jesus Christ? Christian, are you wondering why even serve him? Because he offers you the power. He says here in this passage that there is a possibility of power. He says here, he says in verse number 17, he says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Number one, I want you to see the possibility of ministry. The possibility of ministry. When we look at the word power here in this passage, it's a Greek word that means dynamite. The dynamite power, but it's not referring to those who are sick, as I said. It's referring to the religious leaders of that day there in that house. God wants to make them. He wants to give them freedom from their sins. He wants to give them power and healing. But listen, they'll never get it if they don't recognize that it's right there for them. The possibility of ministry was there. The possibility for power was there. And it took four men who weren't part of the religious system to go up on the roof, tear up the roof, and lower the man down to Jesus. And when they did, they not only see the possibility of ministry, but they all power, but they also see, we also see the persistency of ministry. Do you notice what they do? In verse number 19, and when they could not find by what they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling on his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he saith unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. I'm weary of getting in the churches and hearing this statement. Soul winning doesn't work anymore. You want to be shocked? It never did. God did. Soul winning doesn't work and never has, but when God shows up, soul winning works. When these men get their man to Jesus, they say, hey, listen, there's a possibility. There's a possibility we're going to get him and we're going to be persistent getting the mind of God. Listen, friend, you want to be persistent in ministry? You want to see God show up? Then why don't you expect God to do it? The faith issue. I get in so many churches and they say, preacher, they say, oh, if we only had more people to fill these pews. Oh, if God would just send us more people. And they pray and they act like it's something that they can never reach. They can't ever reach it. Until they look for the power from God. Friend, when you try to live the Christian life, when you try to build God's church without the power of God, it will never happen. But these men come recognizing the source of their power, and they bring their friend to Jesus, and they send him before Jesus, and guess what? God shows up. And friend, you want God to work in your life, maybe it's about time we start expecting God to do it. I hear so many powerless prayer meetings. I almost want to get up and walk out. Why? Because they pray. And they say something like this, Lord, you know we've been praying for so long. I pray, Lord, please help so-and-so to get well. Lord, please help so-and-so to get saved. Amen. Whatever happened to claiming the promises of the Word of God, praying and expecting God to do it? You know why I think many times God doesn't show up? Because people don't expect Him to show up. Many times Christians don't see the power of God because they don't expect to see the power of God. The very people in the room in Luke chapter number 5, they're not expecting God's power, but it was there. It was present to heal them, but it took four men that weren't even a part of this well-known religious system of the day to tear up the roof, get their friend to Jesus, and for Jesus to heal him. We see in the passage, we see the possibility for ministry. Do you realize that God wants to give you power? Do you realize God wants to set you free from your sin? Do you realize God wants to make your ministry powerful with His power? Do you realize not just the possibility, but persistency with God? Get this, friend. Prayer is a muscle that moves the arm of God. You stop praying? Have you stopped praying because you haven't seen God answer? Have you stopped expecting God because you haven't seen Him show up? Have you ever expected God to do the work? Have you ever expected God to do what you cannot? With God, all things are possible. Without me, ye can do nothing. The truck I drive that's out in the parking lot, I prayed for since I was in Bible college. For 10 years, I've prayed for that truck. I've prayed, and God just didn't seem to answer. I began to give up on prayer, say, hey, you know what? It's not worth it. And then I get into college, and guess what kind of vehicle somebody gives me? A Ford Windstar. That's a man's vehicle, yeah. A country boy driving a soccer mom vehicle? Give me a break. I drove that thing all around the country. Drove it all the way out to Texas. Drove it all the way to New Mexico. All the way back across the country. All the way up to Canada. Back and forth and back and forth. An evangelist in a soccer mom vehicle. I'm thinking, Lord, can this be any more humiliating? Lord, please help me. Lord, please provide. Lord, please provide. But I didn't expect God to do it. God continually, and I knew He was telling me when I was praying, He was saying, just wait on me, just wait on me. I'll do the work, I'll do the work, I'll do the work, and I will answer your prayer. So the van died. I mean, gave up the ghost, everything. I replaced three transmissions in the thing, Ford Windstar. That's what they're known for. And I began to think, what in the world am I going to do now? Guess what? God gave me the truck that sits in the parking lot. In a miraculous way. God just seemed to say as I was driving off the lot, God was saying, you wait on me, I'll take care of it. You trust me, I'll take care of it. Stop trying to do it in your own power, let me take care of it. It's a simple illustration, but friend, many times we try to solve the world's problems with our own power. It'll never get done. We try to figure out how we can handle the problems. And God says, stand back and let me see what I will do, but have faith. Expect me to do it. There's a possibility in this passage for God to show up, for God to work in the lives of the religious people. And you know why He doesn't? Because they're not expecting Him to. You know why He works in five men's lives? Because they're expecting God to do something. They're persistent. Our God is able to do it. And you see what God says? Because of their, what's the next word? Faith. Do you believe God can do what He says He will do? Do you believe the promises of the Word of God? Or are you too busy saying, well, that promise didn't come through the first time I prayed. Might as well throw it out the window. Might as well pray for something else. Maybe God will answer that prayer. No, friend, why don't you expect God to do it? Trust God for Him to show His will clear and plain because He can. Because He's God. Look in this passage, we see the possibility of the ministry. We see the persistency of the ministers. We see the potency of the master. He shows up. He says, listen, I will show myself strong. He heals the man that's on the bed. He says, get up and walk. The man, he gets up. He walks out of there taking his bed with him. Four friends, I don't know if they... I would have jumped down through the roof to join my friend. I would have think that would have been pretty neat. But however they get down, I'm sure they join their friend, take off praising God. Because God saw their faith and what He did was showing His power. Are you going to expect God to do it? But then I want you to see this, not just the possibility, not just the possibility, not just the persistency, not just the power. God shows up. By the way, when God shows up, you'll know it, friend. When God shows up, you'll know it. I'll never forget. I was preaching several years. I guess it would have been about a year and a half now. I was preaching, traveling, and evangelism. I just didn't feel like I had power. I felt like the Lord wanted to do something, and I was expecting Him to do it. I just didn't sense God's power. And I began to ask God, Lord, is it me? Is it me? Am I not expecting You to do it? Am I not praying for the power? Am I not claiming the power that You've promised to give? God began to point out something very simple in my life. Well, maybe to you it would seem simple. When I was in Bible college, I cheated on a Greek test. Bible class, preacher. Bible class. I had confessed it to God. I had gotten it right with Him when I was in Bible college. But God began to work in my heart. And I began to realize I don't have the power of God because I've been covering my sin. Listen, friend, you want the power of God, you better uncover your sin. Christian, you want the power of God, it's time to let it open. I realized that I had confessed it to God, but get this. That verse says, covering your sin, you shall not prosper. You can't cover your sin from God, so who are you covering it from? Man. By the way, you confess it to God, but it involves others around you. You better confess it to your authorities. If you want to see God's power. I'll never forget. I was right outside of Milwaukee at the time. I picked up the telephone and I called my Greek professor. I said, Pastor Camp, I've had a struggle the past several months. I haven't been able to preach with power. Oh, I think some of the power is there, but I don't have the full power. And I began to share my heart with him and I said, Pastor Camp, I cheated on a Greek test. I said, I got it right with God, but God's word is true. I have to uncover this. I have to let it out in the open. I've got to ask your forgiveness. And I remember telling her I had come to the point in my life where I was so desperate for God's power. I said, Pastor Camp, if you have to take away my Bible college diploma, if you have to fail me in that class, whatever you have to do, I'm more than willing to take the consequences, but I must have the power of God to preach. Because if I don't, I'm done. And he said, Preacher, I forgive you. Now go preach with power. The next day I stood in the pulpit. I found God's power. Oh, it's not because of me, friend. It's because of the God who offers His power freely and completely. Do you have the power of God over victory over sin? Have you seen the power of God in your soul winning? Have you seen souls saved? That's always a reflection of God's power. But I'll tell you this, friend. When you're planting the seed, you can always tell if it's starting to grow when the power of God shows up. Friend, is the power of God on your life? The power of God, God does not just offer it to those in full-time Christian work. He offers it to full-time Christians. Amen. Do you have the power of God? Have you seen victory over sin? Have you seen God evidence in your life? Have you seen God show up? And friend, as I read the passages all throughout the Bible, I find that every Christian can have the power of God every moment of his life as he surrenders to God completely and freely. Christian, do you want the power of God? Christian, when we look at this passage, we see that God offers His power freely. He offers it the power to heal them. You want to be healed of your sin? You want to be healed of those things that doth so easily beset you, as Paul says? God says, I'll give you my power. He says, claim it. It's free. He says to these men right here, he says the power was present to heal them. But we see that five men, said we're going to see God's power even though we're not in that room. We're going to expect God to do something great. We're going to expect God to show up. And they bring it with faith, trusting that God's going to do it. They lower their friend to Jesus, and Jesus shows up. He shows his power. He forgives the man of his sins. Then the religious fanatics over here, they mock and blaspheme. God says, fine, you think that that's all I can do? I'm going to show you my power again. He says, now, get up and walk. He walks out of there, but then I want you to see what happens. The predictability of these minds, I want you to see what happens in this passage. Luke chapter number 5, the word of God tells us in verse number 25. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house and glorifying God. Get this, verse number 26. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen a strange thing today. That word strange in the Greek, the same word we get the word paradox from. In other words, they see what God has done. They see God's power. They see God show up. And then they look at one another and they say, praise God, brother. Doesn't that look good? Amen, brother. Maybe they have a glory lap. I don't know. But then they look at each other and they say, that's just weird. We haven't seen that before. Paradox. Two opposite ends of the spectrum. What in the world? The religious people, the ones who are the church people, the people that have grown up behind the Bible, who know the Bible, by the way, just a side note, more than you and I ever would. They know what God says. And then they say, praise God. That's weird. Praise God. We've never seen that before. You know why so many Christians look at the subject of revival and they look at the subject of God's power is weird? It's because they live subnormal lives. You know why so many Christians live subnormal lives? Because they think normal Christian living is abnormal. Christian, do you have the power of God in your life? Do you? You say, what do I have to do to get the power of God? What did these five men do to get the power of God? What did they do? They tore up the roof, expecting God to show up. Expecting that when they have their faith in the gospel that is powerful not just to the sinner, but to the saint, they claim the power of God and they say, it is for us. God can show up. God can heal our friend. Then maybe it's about time that we as Christians say, hey, you know what? God can show up. God can show himself strong. God can step out on visitation with us. God can fill this house. God can give me something from the Word of God. I get so weary of getting in churches and people coming up to me and saying, oh, our preacher, he preaches so dry. I'm just not getting fed, so I'm going to go to the church down the street. Get this, friend. If your preacher preaches the Word of God, and I believe he does, and you're not getting fed, guess what? It's your fault. Not his and not God's. You say, why? Because God offers freely the power of God to be fed from his word. And if you're not getting something out of the Sunday morning sermon, wake up and take the power of God. Too many Christians are too busy sleeping in church. I'm convinced that if God were to show up in some churches, it may possibly shake a couple people awake. Get this, friend. God wants to show up in your life. Every moment of your life, God wants to show up. You know why he doesn't? Because we don't believe he will. We don't expect him to. I was recently in a very small church, and I use that term loosely, a very small congregation. And I heard the pastor's wife say this. Oh, if we could only get more people to come. Oh, it would be so wonderful if we got people to come. But if we invited them, they wouldn't stay. And if they did stay, they'd leave. I thought, woe is you. You're not expecting God to do anything. Friend, do you have the power of God? Do you have it? I find that five men found the power of God. Five men found that God could show up, the possibility of power. Because they were persistent in faith, trusting God to do the work, trusting God to show up. And guess what? God did show up. Guess what? God did show himself strong. How long has it been since God showed up in your life? How long has it been, get this, since you got something out of your devotions? How long has it been since you were challenged by the preaching? How long has it been since you have seen a soul come to Christ? How long has it been since you went knocking on doors and saw God show up in your own life, whether you want someone to Christ or not? Christian, how long has it been since you found God's power? Five men. And the whole rest of the house of religious people stepped out. Looking at the power of God, saying, that's strange. That's strange. I want the power of God. More than anything, I want the power of God. We talk and preach about revival. Friend, revival is simply normal Christian living with the power of God. You want to see God show up? You want to see God work in your heart? You want to see God stir this city, this church, this country? We'll never see it until we get the power of God. You know how we get it? Faith. Trusting Him. Five men said, we can have the power of God. We can get the power of God. And they came and found it. Whereas the whole rest of the house went away saying, that's interesting. That's weird. We haven't seen that before. You want the power of God? Maybe it's time we acted like five of these men. And we came and tore up the roof and said, God, you said you'd show yourself strong. Prove yourself. You know, God in the Word oftentimes says, prove me. You know what God's waiting for? He's waiting for some Christians to say, I'm going to trust that God can do what He says He will do. And I'm going to find the power of God. I'm convinced God wants to show up. I'm convinced that God's power is offered freely. He shows it in this passage. And although we only confine ourselves tonight to this one passage because of time, God all throughout the Word of God says, this is my power. Take it freely. For every moment of your life, for victory over sin, for cleansing power, for preaching power, for purity power, He said, I'll give you, I'll show up. Maybe it's time we just trust Him. Maybe it's time we claim His power and get to an old-fashioned altar, the most feared piece of real estate in our churches. And we bend a knee, humbling ourselves and say, God, I haven't seen your power because I've been covering my sin. God, I'm ready to get it right. Maybe if these men in this house were to bend a knee and were to get right with God about their sin, they wouldn't look at God's power and say, that's a strange thing. Friend, do you want God to show up? You know why we're not seeing revival across America? You know why when we do see revival, which is simply normal Christian living, we see it as abnormal? Because you and I live subnormal lives without the power of God. That's why. I want God's power, friend. Do you? I want God to show up. I want to see God. Let me ask you something. Why don't we see revivals take place today? Why don't we see revivals, personal revivals, in our own hearts and lives? Why don't we see people turning to God? Why don't we see all of the things that we once heard about? Why is it that we read about them in history books and say, well, that's strange, that's weird, I wish we had that today. Let me ask you something. Did God change?
No.
I don't think so. Fact is, you and I have changed. We've rejected the power of God and we've said it's not worth it for me to get right to have the power of God. And friend, you're not going to believe God for God's power, pack it up. You're done. I want to see God's power. I'm desperate for God's power. Get this, friend. When you're desperate for God's power and you stop tearing up the roof to find God, He says, I've been right here. I'm ready to show myself strong. When was the last time you saw God strong, show Himself strong? By the way, if you haven't seen God's power recently in your life, you're not right with God. God's power was present to heal them. They didn't see God's power. They weren't right with God. Friend, have you ever been closer to Jesus than you are now? Friend, do you look at power and say, I wish I had that? Do you look at power and say, that's unusual? Friend, are you hungry and thirsty for God's power? God says, when you are hungry and thirsty for my power, I'll show up. Five men tore up a roof to get to God, and guess what? God showed up. But a house full of religious people stood right there next to the power. And they walked away saying, we've seen a strange thing today. Do you think it's strange? How long has it been since you recognized, number one, the possibility of ministry? How long has it been since you were persistent in the ministry for the power of God? How long has it been since you have seen the potency of the power of God, of the Master? And then let me ask you this. Are you one of those predictable minds that comes off with a paradox? Oh, praise God, brother. And then you get home. Oh, that was weird. You know why it's weird? Because you don't have it. It's time we got back to normal Christian living, which is simply revival in our personal lives. When I go in for meetings, the different churches across America, I often say this. Revival doesn't come with an evangelist. I don't bring it in my suitcase. Revival starts in our own personal lives. When we get back to normal Christian living, get this, friend. If you don't have revival, I will, because it's personal. You can have revival. We can have revival. When we get back to normal Christian living, experiencing the power of God that He offers freely to you and I. Have you seen the power of God? Or are you still in the room saying, that's strange, that's unusual? Let me ask you, what is keeping you from the power of God? Sin, pride, self-dependence, etc. Friend, I want the power of God. And I believe every Christian wants the power of God in many cases. But I wonder, will we have it? Or are we going to let ourselves stand in the way of the power that God offers freely? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. The message tonight has been simple. But from the passage, friend, God offered the power freely to all, but only five found the power. The rest had something standing in the way. The rest had something that was keeping them from God showing up. The rest had something that was standing in the way between them and God. By the way, Christian, did you know you could be just as right with God as Jesus is with God? If you're not, it's not God's fault. It's yours. Let me ask this evening. How many would say, preacher, the power of God has not been in my life, or it's not been what it should be. And I know why. God's dealt in my heart tonight. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hand tonight? Praise the Lord. Hands all over the building. Thank you. Put your hands down. Christian, if you just raise your hand and you say, I know why, it's time we get to an old-fashioned altar. Confess. Claim the cleansing. Claim the power of God. And get back to normal Christian living. You can live in revival, friend. You can have the power of God that He offers freely. But the choice tonight is, are you going to be one of the five that gets to Jesus? Or are you going to be like the house full of religious people that stood back and say, yeah, looks interesting. Looks strange too. Lord, I've done my work. Now, Lord, I need You to do Yours. Lord, we're trusting You. I believe You've worked in the hearts. I do not know why You have laid on this on my heart tonight, but Father, I pray that You would do Your work as You see fit in this invitation time. In Your name and for Your sake. Would you stand with me all over the building? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I do not know how you normally do things here, but I'm simply going to ask, if God's dealt in your heart, would you come deal with Him? The altar's open. Would you come? Maybe you raise your hand and say, God, it's dealt in my heart about the power that I don't have. And I know why. Don't sit there, friend. You forfeit the power of God if you know why and you hold on to that. I'm not about getting people down an aisle, but I sure am about people getting right with God. Do you want God's power? Let me ask you something. How desperate are you for God's power? How desperate are you for God to show up? How desperate are you for God to show up in your loved ones' lives through you? By the way, if you don't get God's power and you're witnessing, pack it up, friend. It is only you that is dependent on whether God shows up or not. He wants to. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. To deal with God as He's dealt with you.